It was Edmund Hillary who said, "It is not the mountain that we conquer, but ourselves." For best-selling author, spiritual teacher, and intuition pioneer Sonia Choquette, it took climbing several mountains, hiking through treacherous terrain and unforgiving weather conditions across Spain that allowed her to conquer her own fears, sadness, and unexplored emotions. Her trek across the Camino de Santiago was a journey of the soul, an experience in forgiveness, not just of others, but of self. Sonia documents this absolutely incredible adventure in her latest book, Walking Home, A Pilgrimage from Humbled to Healed. I had the distinct pleasure to initially speak with Sonia back in May of 2013. Little did I know that she was about to embark on a journey that would change her life and touch ours in such an intimate and powerful way. This conversation, post-pilgrimage, was very different than the last. Sonia shares a very personal story of unimaginable loss, of pain, both physical and emotional, and a voyage to healing like none other. Sonia, you know, as I was thinking about a name for our interview today, which I often like to do beforehand, to sort of set a tone for the conversation, I couldn't think of anything more appropriate than this: Walking Home with Sonia Choquette. And I know this is the name of your brand new book, which we'll be talking about today. I love it so much. But this also, to me, Sonia, is the essence of what you've afforded your readers in bringing us this book. We get to walk home with you. This is how it touched me, that I was on this journey with you, and I thank you for that. And I thank you so much for joining me today during what I know for you is a hectic schedule always. So welcome.
Well, I'm so grateful to be with you, and thank you so much. It's heartening to hear that you did feel as though you were walking with me, because I really, once I decided to write the book, that was my intention.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you accomplished that and more. You know, you've authored, I believe, now 20 books. Is this the 20th? Mm-hmm. And many of them, maybe most of them, bestsellers, including the coveted title you have of New York Times bestselling author. But now comes Walking Home, A Pilgrimage from Humbled to Healed. And this, I think, is a very different book from you, different perhaps from any that you've written previously. Would you mind, Sonia, giving the audience a little snapshot of what inspired this book and this journey of yours?
Well, you know, as a spiritual teacher and someone that's pretty much devoted myself to that my entire life, I have absolutely spent my life lifting people up, helping people tune into their intuition, seeing the best possible outcome, showing people how to get there. It's been my passion, my purpose, my grand obsession. And then yet a few years ago, in the course of a very short period of time, my older brother, who was in perfectly good health as far as I knew, died in his sleep. The stress caused my father to die 6 weeks later, and this is a man I've never known to be sick a day in his life.
Wow.
And he died in a minute. He got up and said he didn't feel good, and then he was gone. And the emotional impact on that sent me into such a downward spiral, and my husband, whom I had always a bit of a combative relationship with, just because I'm so pushing always for the best and the most, that he was not prepared to respond to me in a place of such great need, and so he left, and my marriage ended, and it was like a three-way train wreck. And I found myself in a position where none of the tools I had advocated my whole life or had used to my own advantage helped me. So I got on my knees and prayed. And what came to me was the guidance that I was to walk away from everything and to walk the Camino de Santiago, which is a over 500-mile pilgrimage across Spain. And honest to God, it was such a shock, because in trying to deal with all my crisis, I was taking a kickboxing class and broke my kneecap.
I
know. So it's like, are you kidding me? I'm barely recovering. I was in a wheelchair for months, and now I'm supposed to do this? And yet I know enough from living a life that always trusts with absolute faith that guidance I'm given in my heart. I said yes.
You
and
said
I
yes.
set off.
Camino de Santiago, you know, I didn't know that much, if really any, about it prior to your journey and hearing about it. And that's caused me to do a little bit of research. And obviously, you give the reader a purview like none other with the treacherous terrain. We're going to get into that. So God bless you. You know, I love the way you bring the reader in immediately on this incredible journey that you were about to embark on, walking this Camino. And I especially loved how you shared so intimately the trepidation and the anxiety and the uncertainty that began almost immediately after you made the decision to go. I got the impression, Sonia, tell me if I'm right, that the real walk home began for you before you even left on this pilgrimage.
It absolutely did, because what I finally did is I realized that my entire life in service to my spiritual purpose and what I felt was just such a duty to the people that I served, that whatever troubled me, I thought I rose above or got beyond or put aside or just took no offense to. But in fact, what I did is I stuffed all of that deep into my bones and didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even realize it until it all came flying up. There was this time I saw a movie called Don't Look in the Basement when I was a teenager, just frightened the heck out of me, and in a way that all these things I pushed down were like in the basement of my consciousness, deep in the deepest part of me, and I realized that maybe there was a part of me that thought I was beyond it or above it or around it, but maybe in truth I was just running away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I decided to stop.
You looked in the basement. Turned the light on. Wow.
Turned the light on and went back and looked at all of it.
Yeah, and I know there was there was a lot to look at. Well, you know, there's so many wonderful, what I guess you'd call them, esoteric messages that came out in this book. There were definitely synchronicities tied in with this pilgrimage for you. First with the two individuals who separately brought the Camino to your attention way back in the beginning. I believe these were individuals in two different workshops you were leading, six
in
or so months apart.
Continents.
Two different continents. One was Australia, I think, and somewhere
one
else.
One was here in Chicago, and both times it was just a very momentary, just a comment that got my attention, but because it was teaching, it's just like, that's important. I should do that someday. But didn't even really know what it was that they were talking about. It wasn't foremost in my mind. And so they were already messengers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Way ahead of even beat going, that were preparing me for this huge transformational experience.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect, and as I look at it, what a complex tapestry of connection we all have to one another.
Isn't that so? Mm-hmm.
And even to the heavens. I mean, nobody's on the outside. We're all woven together in some divine, mysterious way that is quite gorgeous.
That's a great way of putting it. Gorgeous indeed. And it never ceases to amaze. I love the whole concept, if you want to call it that, the whole language, we'll say, of synchronicity. And I do believe it's a language that the universe speaks. And it's never in short supply. And so this definitely, and I had a feeling you were going to weave those sorts of experiences and let us know about that. So thank you for that. You know, I'll tell you, speaking of the universe and its language, though, it's amazingly supportive. I feel it can also be a harsh teacher, or even a trickster at times, testing us, testing our strengths, illuminating our fears and making us face them. If you don't mind, I want to talk about one, and I'm chuckling only because of the way that you wrote it. Sonia, you just did such an amazing job at even bringing laughter to us in this really tumultuous journey of yours. But one you had on one occasion before you left on this pilgrimage, having to do with facing your fear of what you call wild demon dogs. I had to laugh, and I'll tell you, I'm chuckling, and it's not funny because I know it was a very real fear for you. I have to tell you, my husband was attacked by a dog when he was a kid as a paper boy and had a chunk taken out of him and had to be sent to the emergency room. And to this day, he is absolutely mortified of dogs. So I understand, but the way you delivered it was just amazing. Can you give us a little background on that, the deal with
Well, the
dogs?
thing is, when I was a kid, I was attacked by a dog. And so one of the things I had heard about, once I decided to go in the Camino, I quickly read whatever I could. And two books I read, Paulo Coelho and Shirley MacLaine, both had these horrific experiences with attack dogs. And so I was just like, great, attack dogs. And I just was terrified, to tell you the truth. And so as I'm getting ready to go, I'm trying to get over my fear. I remember my girlfriend, who's just like animal lover extraordinaire, starts telling me, she's gonna, I'm said, you have to get me some kind of mace or some kind of spray to keep these attack dogs off of me. And she's like, well, we're gonna, she brings me a whole kind of folder full of, what to do, and take the stick, and here's what you do, and don't look them in the eye. And I was ready to tackle her with this. It's like, are you kidding me? Are you got to be kidding me? That this is, I'm supposed to be interested in this right now. And it was just, I was so prepared to just have to go, and I became so sick with anxiety about it. And then, she brings me all this stuff. I get my mace, I get everything, and when I finally meet my attack dog, it's pretty funny.
I know. You
I
have
put
to
a
tell the
picture of
story.
my attack dog in the book. I won't give it away, but we'll just say it was a very big confrontation.
I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to give it away, but it was, audience, when you get this book, you'll know why we're chuckling. We'll just leave it there. How about that? Oh, I love it. Oh, boy. Well, as your journey in walking the Camino progresses, you give the reader such a sense of adventure by describing so intricately day by day what you were going through, particularly the terrain and its difficulty that you had to push through. Sonia, I found it so amazing that each day brought a different type of outer terrain, but it also seemed to magically reflect how you were feeling inwardly on that particular day. That was stunning to me.
Every single day of the entire pilgrimage
Every day.
was such an extraordinary mirror to me. The snowstorms, the wind, even the whole idea that I ended up walking the pilgrimage in the worst spring in 100 years. I went in May and June. It snowed and rained and it was freezing. And I thought, of course, because these are the temperaments of the storms inside of me that I had not addressed or even witnessed or acknowledged. And so every day, I mean, I had a lot of talks with the Camino, like, really? Again? And yet, as I walked, it was so interesting because while it was definitely an overwhelming physical challenge, it was the emotional burdens that made it so difficult. And as I walked, I began to divest myself of those burdens. And the walk got easier and easier and easier.
Isn't that something? And if I recall, and again, I don't want to give away too much, but didn't you run into a fellow pilgrim who sort of intimated the same, that she had as well made that statement that somehow the Camino and its magic is sort of mirroring your emotional burdens, and as you let it go, it will become, it can become easier for you.
I really believe, and one of the reasons that I didn't go with any intention of writing about any of this. And obviously, as you read the book, it's so, so personal.
Yeah,
I actually got talked into writing the book.
I was going to ask you about that. Okay, so it really, okay.
So, yeah, I wasn't, this was such a personal, private, dark night of the soul, yearning for healing, shattered self. But what I recognized is that if you can just be with your wounds and instead of judge them, because we have a very judgy society, you know, even spiritually, it's like, oh, don't be a victim. And there's a big difference between being a victim or being stuck in victim mentality and just having the journey of the human experience, which at times can be very wounding.
Very wounding. Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a culture. We're a warrior culture. I was a spiritual warrior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I'm fine. You don't get me down. But that doesn't, that also creates a degree of protection or defendedness, or we kind of push away our vulnerable sides. And when we do that, we deprive ourselves of the real connections we're yearning for.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
And that's what why ultimately what I'd hoped is that it's not that one has to go on a pilgrimage, but maybe just if we could just be a little bit more available to that our woundings don't make us weaker victims.
Mm-hmm.
That our emotional self can be resilient, but not unless we allow it the opportunity to be felt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, you know, what I learned as I went. That was my big aha.
How many days was this, Sonia?
It was 35 consecutive days, and I walked around between around an average of 25 to 30 kilometers a day.
So about 20, 21 miles?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was over two mountain ranges. So it wasn't like a long, flat walk.
I know.
It was like, whoa, what am I doing? Walk.
Yeah, 35
I slipped
days.
And slided and got stuck in so much mud and did so many face plants, and it was just...
Well, let's talk about, I was going to get into this a little bit later because we can go in so many different directions, but let's talk about the pain that you endured. Listen, we have to touch a little bit on that physical pain because I got to tell you, with your toes, as you were describing the absolutely excruciating pain you had, my toes started to hurt. They really did. What did you do to get through that?
The very first day it snowed, as I was walking over, the hardest part of this journey is walking over the Pyrenees, and that day it snowed, and I didn't break my boots in, and they weren't fit properly. All my fault, but I got what's called boot bang. The front of my toes kept banging on my boots for 8 hours. And as a result, every single one of my toes was filled up with blood and so black. And then I decided, with the help of a fellow pilgrim, he taught me how to operate on them. And I won't go into the gory details, but I do describe it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all became infected. And so I could barely walk. I could barely put my boots on.
Just to
I
add
could,
insult.
It was a miracle. To this day, I don't know how I did it. And it took a year for my feet to heal.
I've heard you talk about that, and I can see why. Well, and this is why I say to everyone that I know will be getting this book the moment we conclude our interview, Sonia, you have to read this to understand. Now, again, as I was saying to you offline, Sonia, I read a lot of books for research, et cetera, and this one is one that I'm going to put right at the top. I have not been drawn into. I felt like I was on the Camino with you. What's going to happen on day 10? Oh my God, is she going to leave? How on earth is she going to make it after these? Because you do describe in excruciating detail the toes and
I did want to give people, I mean, I wanted to have people in sharing my story, my wish was maybe you don't have to go on the Camino to maybe benefit from some of the experiences.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And so I in sharing it, I just poured it out. I didn't even know what was. I just told my story.
You did. I could tell. You can pick that up. You can pick up, and myself as a writer as well, you know that in reading other people's work, you know, some people a little bit more forthcoming than others. Some people might pad things. You know how it is. This is not that. This is
a report.
It is. You poured your heart out, and I shed tears. I got to tell you, I'm kind of, you know, at a loss for words that this book touched me in such a deep way. So
I'm so grateful for that.
Well, I know this isn't the first time you've heard it, and nor will it be the last. And you're right. Maybe not everyone will have to do the Camino or other pilgrimages. We understand it. I think there's such a thing as an inner pilgrimage. And I think, And you touched on that a moment ago, that because we live in, especially in the West, in such a society, Sonia, that really kind of poo-poos feeling, period. Everything's
right.
Fine. Everything will be okay. No, I disagree with that.
We lose so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and cry and scream, I tell people, if you need to. Go throw a rock at a tree or scream at the tree. Do whatever you need to.
Not feel ashamed.
That's right.
Whoa. Not feel ashamed that you're a feeling being.
Yeah.
And that is, if there is anything, I just want people to know when they read the book, that if you can just be with your feelings and you can just help yourself move through that energy, rather than run away from it, like I did, that it does transform. And something is behind that.
There is.
It's really powerful and very healing.
Well, you're walking the talk, my friend. You really are. You don't get any closer than that. Now, you've been doing this for a long time. Well, let me ask you this. Now, I know this is now a few years ago, right, that this has been complete. Okay.
And I wrote it a year ago.
You wrote it a year ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you relived the whole thing as you had to as mm-hmm. you were writing this book. But let me ask you, with all the thousands of people that you have impacted, and you've always been effective, people connect with you. Did you feel that there was a different dimension to what you were bringing to people in your workshops and your classes and your individual meetings with people after this Camino was done?
Yes. I'm so grateful, because the Camino not only transformed me on a personal level, but it's opened my heart to a brand new mission,
mm-hmm.
which is, in addition to the tools that I've given people, which are the tools of resilience and the tools of creativity and the tools of vision and the tools of intuition, also now I really feel very compelled to help people with the tools of compassion
mm-hmm.
and kindness and self-love at a level that is more than words. Really want people to know that our goal in life is to see every part of our human experience as sacred, not just the high points.
Right. Absolutely. Again, well said. I want to go back to the Camino a little bit, because there's so much meat there in terms of the
Yay.
Messages. Let's talk a little bit about the people, other pilgrims that you met along the way. Such a variety of souls, individuals, groups. You even called some of them angels.
Yes.
What was the significance of the people that you met on this pilgrimage, Sonia? What did they represent for you?
Well, first of all, so much. One of the people that I met that was so poignant to me is, you know, my husband's name is Patrick,
and mm-hmm.
and when I went on the Camino, I was so angry with him. I was so angry, and so of course the first person I have any real contact with is a pilgrim named Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, of course, and he was the kindest, most stable, and most grounded individual, and what he taught me, he listened to me. And I'm a soul that has spent my life listening, but I haven't necessarily been a soul that has been listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Not on a personal level. So he helped me by just feeling listened to. But also, I was able to come to some healing and acceptance of Patrick, my husband.
Wow.
That nobody's all light or shadow. That maybe I had a facet of a relationship with Patrick where both of us, we interfaced our shadows, and maybe that's where our benefit was, is to keep, you know, agitating those until we could break apart and bring light there. So it really changed and healed and calmed and relieved me of my anger toward my husband when I met a pilgrim named Patrick. In fact, I met another Patrick, too. It was like, I really am getting the message here.
Oh,
because
wow.
Another one was one that you'll meet down the road. So it was like a double. Like, I got it. So that was interesting. And
interesting is a good word.
Yeah.
Every single time.
I had to laugh because every experience brought me right back to my own experience.
Yeah.
My inner experience. And then I met a couple. Oh, I can't even tell you. There's angels down the road that are so wildly surprising in the book toward the end. I don't even want to ruin it for anybody, but just have to say that I met a man by that one point who was just so attached to me. It was kind of scary. And yet my encounter with him healed a wound that was so deep and so shattering to me at the time, but I had so forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
It was so buried. It was stunning.
I think I know which one that is. We won't blow that one.
It was so stunning to me. So I'll just, but I don't want to ruin it for the readers because I think it's important. But that every encounter I had with a pilgrim was so poignant and touched me in such a deep way and healed such a big part of what I had just shoved aside.
Yeah.
And decided, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to take offense to that. I'm not going to be brought down by that. And yet, it was all still sitting there to be witnessed and healed. So it was, when they say the pilgrimage is magical, it is.
Yeah. But dangerous too. Let's touch on this briefly. This was a little bit unnerving. There was an individual, I believe a woman, you said, that died just before you.
Yeah,
was it before
the day
you got
after
there?
I walked over the same path.
Oh my goodness!
And you see very often on the path, you see grave markers.
How did you deal with that?
You know, I would sit with them for a little bit, because I understood. I understood what their yearnings were that brought them. And I would sit and honor their spirits. And sometimes I cried.
I'm sure.
Sometimes I just sat and sobbed. Because I knew what brings you to this point in life. And even though everybody on the pilgrimage always said that initially everybody had different reasons, some were very, just, I'm on an adventure, saw the movie, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, as the days went by, the real yearning was, I want to connect with my authentic self.
Yeah, of course.
And everybody kept having these same sorts of epiphanies, even the more superficial ones.
Yeah. Because I know I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was just interesting to me how it all poured in at the end, as we all kind of poured into the end, that we were all coming to the same deep sense of love for life, for our life and life.
Wow. I don't know what else to say. Obviously, I have a lot of other things. I have to just kind of meditate for a minute and take it. I want everyone else. Sometimes silence is a good thing to take in what you've said, because, again, the magic that we all get, Sonia, is the fact that we know you are so well known for such a gentle, articulate, and succinct way of distilling what so many others can't. And when you put this type of an adventure, this type of an experience on top of what you already are, I believe, endowed with, which is a spirit that is designed to help us, It's just, there's nothing to say. There's nothing more to say, really. So, but there's more. There's a few more. We've got about 15, but not even 15 minutes left, maybe 15 minutes or so. I want to talk for a little bit about, because I think this all ties in, this sort of otherworldly reality that you would occasionally find yourself in while on the Camino.
Right.
You describe parts of it as a mystical place or an alternative, alternate, I would say, reality. And I noticed how you referenced the Camino follows natural ley lines. Do you think there's a connection between these ley lines and the feelings of otherworldliness you were having?
I do. I think it's a combination of things, and I feel very presumptuous to try to summarize it because it's so much bigger than me. However, it's a combination. It follows the Milky Way.
Huh.
So the stars are ahead, and then these ley lines and underground rivers and energetic vortices. But then there's thousands of years of pilgrims walking. But there's also the intentions and the prayers. Thousands of years of energy going over this same experience. So it is a perfect intersection of energetic collaboration that does lift you out of the normal three-dimensional experience and normal time. It does transport you. And it also blurred the lines between present time and past lives, present space and divine realms. All disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Well, this might be a perfect segue. You briefly, or actually on a few occasions, talk about, I don't know, your possible connection to the Knights Templar and these sort of dreams, very anomalous dreams that you would have years ago where there was this connection and even the idea of maybe walking the Camino before in a previous life.
You know, and it all kind of came converging upon me because the Knights Templar were the guardians for the pilgrims.
Oh.
And when I was very young, and I'd written about this in my first book, not really knowing what I was writing about, I had these recurring dreams of being in a secret religious group. And it was these knights. And I'd had them over and over and over again. And I knew as I matured and read more and learned more that I myself may very well have, and you know, I say this saying, it doesn't, you know, I say whether you believe it or not, there was a deep connection for me there. And I felt that there was a continuance or a completion of maybe even some of my own soul experiences in previous lives, maybe not just what was going on in this life, but maybe I'd come to this junction in my life to end some very old soul stories that had been repeatedly wounding and to move on. So it was too big to deny.
Hmm.
And I wrote about it.
And maybe that's what pushed you to actually, when you had these synchronicities, and I think you said you had a dream to go on the Camino, and you honored that, even with all of the emotional, the fear that you had, the trepidation. Do you think on some level you knew that there was something even greater, even beyond the immediate crises that were happening, that there was this, you had to reconnect with your past?
It was that.
Okay.
Because the immediate, I had a knee that was fragile. I had no time to prepare. The greatest part of the hike I've ever made is to the grocery store. You know, it just made no logical sense, and emotionally challenged everything in me. But in my bones, I knew this was the only thing I could do at this junction in my life to heal. And was part of my bigger soul purpose as a teacher. I knew it. I just knew that if I were to continue to do anything of any integrity in this world, in front of people or to touching people, I had to do this.
Yeah.
And it was, and so I just followed that on pure faith.
I say when faith is all we have, we get to see faith move mountains firsthand.
It certainly moved me over.
I was going to say, this was literally, you probably pushed a couple while you were there. But it's
no kidding.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, you know, there was a day, if I can say, early on in this journey when you came very close to giving it up, packing it up, and going home by plane, not walking.
I planned my escape.
What changed your mind?
And a pilgrim, I confessed. And a pilgrim helped me rethink that.
Oh, boy. See?
And he was so lovely about it. He was so lovely about it.
Oh, wow. The angels were all around
you. Another angel. Every day an angel.
How did you, tell me if I'm going too far, because I don't want to, there's so much meat. There's no way you can totally spoil it, because there's surprises on every page, people. But I have to ask this question, to revisit, if I may, for a minute, what the initial impetus was that sent you on this journey, that of suddenly losing your brother, your father. Did you see them along the way in any way?
In
feel them?
So many ways. And I would say that the one thing that, without giving too much away, I felt closer to my father in a real way on the Camino and during the course of the Camino than I'd ever felt to him when he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just I know my dad loves me. It was much more dynamic than that.
Hmm.
They showed up.
Yeah. Well, that's where it would happen. What about your brother?
Same thing. They both showed up in the most surprising ways. They showed up.
Before you left on this journey, you know how you plan a trip. Now, this was obviously, you know, would not be an ordinary trip, but when you plan anything and you're anticipating, we can't help but have some expectation. Oh, I imagine it's going to be this way, and oh, it's going to be hard, and it's going to be magical. How far different was it from what you imagined it to be?
I have to say, I didn't imagine it like that. I was so shell-shocked, and I really believe I was in real trauma, that I couldn't imagine it. It was just pure, oh my God, what am I doing? That's as far as my brain would go. Oh my God, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I can do it. I had a lot of anxiety over my physical ability to do it. But I didn't anticipate it. And I really think it's because I was truly in so much trauma that my brain wouldn't even go that far.
Okay.
So I'm grateful.
That was probably some sort of a protective mechanism, right?
It was. I'm grateful that I didn't come with a lot of expectations. And
yeah.
Part of it was because what I heard was, oh, my God, the Pyrenees, you'll never make them over the Pyrenees. It's so awful. And even the day I got there, it's snowing. You shouldn't, it's bad. Don't go over the snow. And yet I thought, okay, I'll just see what happens. And sure enough, my boots started marching right into the snow.
Isn't that something? Tell me the year again. This was 2000.
I finished it a year ago, May.
Oh.
2013. Mm-hmm. It's
wow.
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago at all.
It went May 13.
And the weather, well, it's interesting that you say that, because we were in Spain, I think it was in 2007, and the weather had started really becoming, atypical, just, they said that it was the coldest, the wettest it had been in I don't know how many years. And I think you had mentioned that, people were saying, I think you said there was a cab driver that it was just cussing like crazy, talking about the weather and how bad it was when you first started. So you were like, great.
And I just kept saying, great, great. Of
really?
Course it would be this, because I'm such a drama queen. Of course it would be this, because I feel like I'm in so much drama right now.
Mm.
So, you know, I am grateful I did never lose my sense of humor.
It comes through. It definitely comes through. I have had so many, like a tear, a laugh, a, oh boy, can't believe, really?
Really, that's how I felt. Really?
Because you could just relate. Oh, and I have to make mention of the, oh, the lovely people at the hostel. Some of them were lovely.
Oh, the hostel.
Some of them
hostel.
Weren't. The hostel. There were a few that were really hostile. What gives there? How, did you consider, you know, sometimes people were just downright rude with no exception. Did you take that into account? Is all part of the package of what you were supposed to learn?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, because I didn't have the energy to fight it.
Yeah.
I was too exhausted. So all I could do was sit there with my glass of red wine, which was, you know, my little 2 ounces before I passed out, and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is this? What is this?
Oh, boy.
And why is this? And I did learn, you know, I have my own impatient side.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own side that can be very impatient. And to really experience it without any sort of filter, because we get filtered in this world, we get defended and kind of braced in when we're out in the world, and to just take it in, like, oh,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be guilty of that.
Yeah.
And I did deepen in a big way my patience for humanity.
Yeah. Wow. It's just, what a gift. What a, what a gift for yourself.
Not everyone would
do this. And that's what I kept thinking. You know, as a matter of fact, I said to my husband, I'm getting ready to interview Sonia and I'm going to be reading her book, prepping. And are you familiar with the Camino de Santiago? And he's like, well, of course, Mr. Worldly, of course. I'm like, really? Okay. I said, well, would you ever consider doing something like that? And he said, if I was called to, this is not something you just do on a whim. You have to be called to it.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. I think this is not just, oh, let's vacation this way. This
yeah.
Year.
Although some people do, right? They'll bike it. I think I've heard some people have biked it.
And there are people who do it in small segments. They don't do the whole thing at once. And I mean, there's just so many ways to approach this experience, and whatever way, if it calls you, you will show up.
Mm-hmm. So you would never do one again, huh? You don't need to. You've
well, actually, I actually did do it again.
You do? Oh, I'm sorry. I was presumptuous.
I did, and you know, I did because I just felt called to walk it one more time. So I left again this May.
Oh, you're kidding.
I did it twice.
Oh.
I did it twice. Now I feel done.
I would think so. That's a big one. I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, and so it was just a way to bring closure to so many things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So the first time I did it really healed my past, and the second time I did it just really healed and set me forward.
Did you do it with by yourself again or with...
Yes, with good boots that fit. And it was warm.
There you go. We'll see. That's
good. It's so different.
Oh, my God bless you, dear heart. I had no idea. You know, I have no doubt that reading this book, everyone is going to be inspired to take their own pilgrimage, whether it's walking the Camino once or twice or three times. Maybe it's an inner pilgrimage, but you've really shown us, Sonia, how necessary it is to walk the path whatever way we can. That's part of our mission. That is our mission.
Whatever it is. Even if it's to walk around the block.
To walk around the block, which is what I just did to set the tone for our conversation. And I'm imagining I'm going up a little incline. I'm going, just put one foot in front of the other like you did. You know, just talk yourself through it.
Yes.
Well, you, I feel, have helped all of us discover ourselves. I thank you so much. And I want to encourage everyone to go out and get, order Walking Home, A Pilgrimage from Humbled to Healed. God bless you, Sonia Choquette.
Thank you. All my love to you and your listeners.
Thank you. And it's been a pleasure having you. Past lives, present pain, reconciliation, forgiveness. Walking the Camino provided a mirror for Sonia and for the multiple dimensions of life that can be conquered if one is willing to walk the path. Whether it's trekking through the Camino across Spain or journeying the depths of our own soul in deep contemplation, when we accept the invitation to make the trip, we will find ourselves truly in a better place. Thank you for listening to this exclusive presentation brought to you by ConsciousLifeNews.com. We encourage you to listen to more in-depth interviews that matter as we continue to bring you the latest news, views, and inspirational stories from the alternative realm. Now you can subscribe to our podcast, available on iTunes for free episodes on demand. Until next time, I'm your host, Alexis Brooks.